Welcome to another edition of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. I'm Dandrea Bradley. On today's show, we're talking about the historic Baltimore School in Cramerton and the work that's being done to preserve this hidden treasure in Gaston County. Stay tuned for this rich and informative conversation and learn how you can get involved.
Celebrate Women's History Month with a special presentation at the Main Library on Saturday, March 16th. The library's supervisor of local history and genealogy, Jane Kaler, will be making a special presentation about the women's suffrage movement in Gaston County in the early 1900s. The presentation will also highlight women leaders that fought for equal pay and racial equality. The event begins at 11 a.m. in the Carol K. Reinhart Auditorium and is free.
Welcome to another edition of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. I'm Dandrea Bradley, and with me here today, I have Mr. Fred Glenn and Ms. Wendy Cawthon to talk about the historic Baltimore School in Cramerton. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
So
thanks.
I want to start at the very beginning. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are listening and they're like, where's the Baltimore School? So Mr. Glenn, can you just jump in and just talk to us a little bit about the Baltimore School?
Yes, the Baltimore Village School is located in Baltimore Village and Cramerton on Baltimore Drive. And it is, my mother and my aunt went to school there. And for me, it was a community center and a theater for a lot of the kids that came along later on. Because during segregation, we couldn't enjoy the amenities on the outside of the village. So we had the school turned into like a community center and a theater because, you know, they would bring movies there and show movies there at the school for us in the village.
Wow. Do you remember what movies you saw there?
Yes. One was Hopalong Cassidy.
Okay.
Tarzan.
Oh, wow.
Gene Autry, and movies like that.
That's awesome. And you said your mom and your aunt went to the school. I bet they told you lots of stories. So would you mind sharing a couple of those stories with us?
Yeah, some of the ladies that went to school there, Mrs. Winnie Leeper and Miss Martha Crawford, they attended the school there in 1925, I remember.
Oh,
and
wow.
Some of the stories they were telling that how eighth grades were taught in one-room school with one teacher and a potbelly stove. And the teacher would get there early in the morning and make a fire in the stove. And the kids could bring their siblings to school with them if they babysit, only if they behaved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And some of the kids, like the eighth graders or the seventh graders, would come back and help the teachers to teach the first and second grade. And I guess that's, you can consider that the first teacher's aid, being students.
That's amazing.
Coming back to aid the teacher, to teach the lower grades.
So how many grades were there at the Baltimore School?
It was eight grades.
So from kindergarten up to eighth, or first grade to eighth grade?
First grade to eighth grade, yes.
Okay. Wow. And I
guess you can consider it being a kindergarten, too, if you could bring your siblings.
Right.
If they were 3 or 4 or 5 years old.
Right. And you know, you think about that and you wonder what the typical school day actually looked like, especially if, you know, it wasn't a large school. It was, you know, just a small community school, an all-black school in a community that was dealing with segregation at the time. So did they tell you any stories about what they were learning in the Baltimore School?
Well, first of all, the books was like hand-me-down books, and some of the pages were missing.
Mm-hmm.
From the books. So could you imagine trying to get an education? And some kids would have a page 100, and the other kid's book, we'd be missing 100, mm-hmm. page 100. So that would be a challenge to try to learn under those kind of conditions.
Wow, I can't even imagine. So typical school day, you've got your teacher, you've got different, you know, age groups. How many teachers were there in the school, do you know?
One teacher.
Just the one teacher?
One teacher in 8 grades.
One teacher in 8 grades. That is amazing.
And like, Ms. Crawford also mentioned that they taught music.
Okay.
But they used hymnals to teach music because they didn't have, you know, regular music books or anything mm-hmm. like that. So they had a little small piano and they would sing hymns.
That's awesome. And so let's fast forward to the school closing. When did the school close?
I'm not for sure exactly when the school closed. Mm-hmm. It had to be in the early 40s, maybe.
Okay.
Mid-40s, somewhere thereabout, give or take those years.
Okay. And then after it closed, you know, because, you know, people growing up in Baltimore Village didn't have anything to do, that's when they started, you know, hey, let's make this our community center or, you know, our theater, that sort of thing.
Correct. And like I say, it became a community center for us and a theater and a gathering places for other communities, African-American communities that didn't have the amenities that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come and use the school as a outing, you know, like a lot of churches would come and use the school. And we even had a shelter, cookout shelter.
Oh, wow.
You know, with bread and water right up there on the hill. And they would come, the churches would come and have their cookouts.
Mm-hmm.
And the school served as also Sunday school classes was taught there. Quilting were taught there. The ladies were gathered with the flower club and would use the facilities as a flower club for the community. And it was just a very inclusive piece of history mm-hmm. that was used back then in the 50s and 40s and even into the 60s.
Wow, that's amazing. So you mentioned the 60s. Did they ever gather there for, you know, for meetings during the civil rights movement or anything like that?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
Now, one thing we did do, even before I left the village and went off to school and later on into the military, as a young man, a young boy, you might say, Santa Claus would come, and Fred Kirby from WBTV would come with his calico and the singing cowboy, Fred Kirby, would
okay.
come over with Santa Claus, and we were just excited, you know, to see someone, a TV celebrity, to us, it was a TV celebrity.
Coming to the village. That's amazing. So, Wendy, I want to bring you into this conversation because you're the secretary for the board of directors for the Baltimore School. So how did you get involved with the school?
So my husband served on the town council in Cramerton, and there was a new development coming into Cramerton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the plans were kind of to encircle the Baltimore Village. And I learned about the school and saw that it was vacant. And I was really afraid that, you know, the way things go, they were going to come in and raise all those properties. So I did my due diligence, found Mr. Glenn, found Dr. Pierre Crawford,
mm-hmm.
and started conversations with them about, okay, what can we do to make sure this doesn't happen?
Absolutely.
And then we worked together for probably 3 or 4 years before we started, you know, really knowing what we needed to do.
Okay. So we know here in Gaston County, the Baltimore School has historic status.
Yes.
And you're currently working on a project to get the school on the National Registry. So tell us how that process is going.
So we are in the beginning phases of that. We are working with a company out of Chicago, actually, who has agreed to do this for us pro bono. Several years ago when the owners of the Ramsey Consulting Company were in grad school,
mm-hmm.
they did their thesis on they did an African-American survey of Gaston County, and the Baltimore School was one of their properties that they surveyed.
Oh, okay, wow.
And so that's how I got a lot of the information about the school. And I reached out to them, and they're like, we would love to do this. We want to help you. So Laura and her sister are actively helping us get the National Registry underway, and not just for the school, but for the entire village.
Absolutely.
So if we can get the residents to agree to it, we're gonna preserve that whole village.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome. So tell us why this is so important to you. Why is it so important that the Baltimore Village remain intact, the Baltimore School remain intact?
So for me, well, the Baltimore Village School is the last one-room African-American schoolhouse in the county. Everybody is familiar with Rosenwald schools that were built during this time as well. But this one is unique in that the mill owner actually built it.
Okay.
And he built it to the standards that he did other properties in Cramerton. So, you know, it had running water at a time when, you know, running water in a normal house was not
rare.
A common thing.
Right.
But he made sure that it had running water,
mm-hmm.
As did all the houses. The houses, if you go down there, the houses are very similar to what you see in the main part of the village. And even though it was segregated, Mr. Kramer, that is, he did what he could to make sure that they had the amenities they needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, that is fascinating to me that this school had running water.
Yes.
In the 1920s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is amazing.
Two bathrooms.
Definitely unheard of. Because you couldn't even find houses with
right.
two bathrooms.
Yes.
So that's awesome. So, Mr. Glenn, I want to bring you back in. So how did it feel when Wendy reached out to you and said, hey, I really want to save this school. I want to save this village.
Well, backing up to the time that I got the call from Mrs. Dineena Watson-Faust,
mm-hmm.
The fire department was in the process of burning it, doing a controlled burn.
Okay.
On the school. And they were practicing inside the school. They had blacked out the windows, and they were practicing going into a smoke-filled room. And once that process was done, they were going to burn it down. And Mrs. Watson asked them, please don't do that, because she was part of the village growing up in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
We were all just kids. And so she called me and said, Fred, well, first of all, she was able to get them to not burn the school down.
Okay.
And she called me and said, Fred, guess what? They're going to burn the school down. I said, oh, no, Darlene, no way they can do that. So I started doing my research and found out that the school belonged, who owned the school. So make a long story short, my wife and I was able to purchase the school.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it was like the Phoenix. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it rose from the fire and took flight. And I'm an old soldier. You have to stop the bleeding.
Right.
I was able to stop the bleeding till the medics got there. And the medics is Wendy, her husband Will, and the Hams, Anita and Houston Hams.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my medics. I consider them my medics. I didn't know how. We didn't know how we were going to renovate the school. All I knew, I had to stop the bleeding. We had to save it.
You needed to do something.
Right. Didn't have no idea in the future how we were going to renovate it. So here we are now, talking about renovating it, and we have saved it, and we renovate.
That's amazing. Like, that is such an awesome story. And so Wendy and you know, her husband and the Helms step in, and, you know, what was your reaction?
We became like a family,
mm-hmm.
the savior of the school, along with other people, too. But this is the heartbeat of it. My wife and I, the Carltons and the Hams,
mm-hmm.
and it spread it out to where we are now, talking about it. See, it all started with a journey of 1,000 miles.
Begins with one step.
One step.
Yes.
But without his foresight to go ahead and purchase the property, I mean, we wouldn't be here. The school would not be here.
Right time, right place. Like, that is so amazing. So what's next in this process to make it to the National Registry? And so for those people that are listening and they want to get involved, is there a way that they can do it?
Yes. For the National Registry, we're just kind of waiting. You know, we're in a holding pattern. You know, they need to do all the paperwork. It is an intensive amount of work that has to go into getting something even, you know, before the National Registry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just waiting on all of that to get done. But we are in the middle of our fundraising. We currently have around $365,000 of our $500,000 goal.
Okay.
We are participating in the Community Foundation run where you can get your dollars matched if you donate. But we have websites, Facebook. We're all over the place, or okay, we try to be.
Okay.
So, you know, there's lots of ways that people can get involved, you know, with their dollars. We're wanting to, once the actual work starts, obviously some of it will have to be done by professionals, but we really want community buy-in. So we may have work days where we're painting or we're landscaping or we're doing something where we also want people to come out and help with that.
Okay.
Because once we have the buy-in from the community like that, it's just going to flourish so much.
Absolutely. So community can definitely get involved.
Yes.
So if they want to reach out to you, do you have what's your website? You mentioned a website and social media. So how would they look you up?
Yes. Yeah, so you can email us at BaltimoreVillageSchool@gmail.com. And we also are on Facebook, Instagram, and our website is historicbaltimoreschool.org.
All right. So is there anything else you want to share with our listeners, something that I may not have asked?
Yes, I would like to say it is not only just the Baltimore Village School in Cremerton. It is part of the whole Gaston County community, the whole state of North Carolina, spreading out to the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Being the only one-room African-American school left in the whole county, it is part of the county, and hopefully that when we turn it into a museum, a gathering place, that the kids will be able to come and see how education was taught back in the 20s and 30s.
Absolutely.
And even to the 40s, and appreciate the education that they are getting today and take the advantage of that education.
Absolutely. I cannot imagine taking my younger brother to school with me to babysit.
No, never.
Right. And plus, under the conditions that they had to learn with a potbelly stove, and the kids, somebody have, other than the teacher would start the fire, but the kids would have to keep the fire going. So that means someone has to fuel the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So, and trying to learn at the same time and babysit.
Wow.
So under those kind of conditions.
And also, we are currently in the architectural phase of this. So we are working with an architect, and we're hoping to start construction late spring, early summer. So we're going to go ahead with this. We're going to move as far forward as we can, and we'll just keep raising money, and we'll keep doing the work until, you know, we have to raise more money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we would like the whole county to get involved.
Yes.
With this. Get on board, because this is a piece of jewel of the whole county.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and then you have to think about, like, once, you know, it already has historic status. Once it's on the National Registry, you're going to have people who are going to be, you know, coming to the county just so they can see it.
We would love that.
That would be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have like a whole tour of Gaston County historical sites.
Yes.
We would love that.
And include that on the tour. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. So some have asked me about doing a video. I say, no, not yet. You know, they want to come in and do a video, you know, because a music video. But actually, this is not a replica. This is the real
original.
Deal. The original. So it's almost unheard of. An unseen have the original one-room school.
It's
right.
The original building in the original location.
Yes.
Exactly, because nowadays you see so many replicas you know, that were built as representations yes. of the original.
Or they'll pick up the original and move it to a location that, you know, doesn't really have significance for that building.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Well, that is awesome. And, you know, keep us posted, keep us updated on how things are going. And we'll have to have y'all back when y'all start the architectural phase.
We're
when you start building.
Yes.
We may have to do an on-location podcast.
We love doing that, too.
Yeah. Yes,
absolutely.
Well,
Mr. Fred Glenn, Ms. Wendy Cawthon, thank you so much for your time and for just sharing your story with our listeners. And we hope to have you back very soon.
Thank you, DeAndre.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for Savvy Citizen. We'll see you next week.
Want to help the environment? We've got a couple events for you. The Friends of Crowder's Mountain is looking for volunteers to help with trail work and litter cleanup. Those interested can meet at the Sparrow Springs Visitor Center at 8:30 on Saturday, March 9th. Tools, work gloves, safety glasses, bug spray, drinks, and snacks are all provided. Visit friendsofcrowders.com for updates and more information. Saturday, March 9th is also Household Hazardous Waste Collection Day here in Gaston County. County residents can come to the Citizens Resource Center in Dallas between 8 and 11:30 in the morning to drop off items like oil-based paint, weed killer, fluorescent bulbs, and more completely free of charge. You can view the complete list of acceptable items on the solid waste page at gastongov.com. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Savvy Citizen Podcast. It's produced by the Gaston County Communications Office with hosts Janet Schaefer, DeAndre Bradley, Elizabeth McGee, and Adam Gobb. Joshua Braswell serves as executive producer, and Gavin Stewart serves as field reporter and producer. Please like us and share reviews on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Coming up next week on the show, Corporal Gibson from Gaston County Sheriff's Office comes in to talk to us a little bit about the GED program, as well as some other programs inside the jail for inmates that are helping make their lives better for when they get out from behind bars.